Welcome to Thursday morning, and it's a mixed bag in the province. Sunshine is blistering in parts of the province, and rain is drizzling in others. I look out the window, the studio here in Saskatoon. Rain maybe subsided a little bit right now, but it was drizzly coming in today. We are expecting a lot more moisture today, and that is going to happen in most parts of the province. Really, the next 24 hours, maybe 48, getting us into the weekend, and big winds. I don't even want to say the S word, but I do know in the northern part of the province, it's going to chill off enough that the moisture could turn to the white stuff. But let it be known I didn't use the S word. Evan Bray, good to have you here on this Thursday morning. Look, I got to tell you this. This is live radio. Live radio has twists and turns. And so as we are going to air, this show is morphing and changing in front of our eyes. We were supposed to have Federal Transport Minister Stephen McKinnon on the show at 9 o'clock today, because he was just in Alberta for a big announcement. He's actually touring a BHP plant mine today. He's in Saskatoon for a Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce meeting tomorrow, and he was going to join the show today at 9. Well, he's stuck on a plane. But at the same time, the federal government is announcing a clean electricity announcement, a fairly significant announcement. So we are going to chat with Stephanie Taylor, National Post political reporter, at 9 o'clock about what this announcement is and what it means for Canada. And I think as specifically, this one is going to be interesting in terms of what it means for Saskatchewan. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Housing continues to be a pinch point in the province. We, for so long, have been one of the most affordable provinces when it comes to housing. Well, the pendulum is swinging a bit here, and a lot of it has to do with the supply and demand. We've got very few houses on the market compared to the demand that is there. We welcome the Saskatchewan Realtors Association on the show. We'll talk a little bit about that. And also, I want to mention today on the show, a group in the province stepping up to help with the legal costs, legal advice incurred by women facing domestic abuse. I watched this lots in my career. This is a part of the system that I think has been a bit of a downfall for a long time, because you've got legal aid for people that are charged, but often people that are facing some sort of domestic abuse need legal advice, however, don't qualify for legal aid, and as a result, they're in this void. And it is a part of the system that has been grossly overlooked. Well, there is a group now that has launched the province's first no-cost legal clinic to support women impacted by intimate partner or family violence. It's a great project. We've got that on the show as well. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the Big Talker.
Well, we often talk about, when we talk about Saskatchewan's economy, it's got a lot to do with some of the resource sectors that we have here. We just came through the Food, Fuel, and Fertilizer Conference here a couple of weeks ago, and I can tell you that there's lots of positive momentum in the province. A big conversation happens about where does the industry go next? How does this tie into some of these major projects happening in Canada? How do we protect our supply chain, which is such an important part of this discussion and an important part of what ultimately will help initiate stronger growth in the province? This is where Eric Anderson comes in. Always enjoy having Eric on the program. He is the executive director of the Saskatchewan Industrial and Mining Suppliers Association, better known as SIMSA. Eric Anderson, thanks for joining the show.
It's great to be here. It's good to be actually see face to face. I'm on the show every day, but I never actually see you.
I know.
You.
It's good. It's very good. Listen, let's start here. You were summoned to appear before the House of Commons Standing Committee on Industry and Technology, like literally last week.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shocker. You get to work in the morning, and Wednesday morning, there's an email saying, you know, it's an innocuous little email saying House of Commons Committee would like you to appear, and you look at it and you go, oh, wait a minute. This is tomorrow morning. And they want your notes on your opening statement that day.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you got to use a certain headset and microphones. You got to go get that.
Yeah. So I saw parts of the presentation, have an idea of what your notes were going into there. What were the key messages that you tried to deliver in that presentation?
Well, the key messages are tricky, because you got to remember there's a few things to set this up. This is watched by the U.S. government, right? Whatever you say, this is a televised thing. So that's part one. You got to remember, okay, well, who's listening to this? And you don't want to kind of screw things up there. you're talking to a bunch of liberal MPs, a bunch of conservative MPs, and a block one. They all have equal time, so you got to be careful of, you don't want to set either one of them up, right? And then you got to be careful that you don't want to, you know, hurt our sectors because we are surprisingly doing well.
Yeah, and it's mostly about you protecting the industries that you represent.
Yeah, and so you kind of like, so you have this little line you're just treading right down the middle of.
Right.
And you're going, please don't ask about this, because they can ask anything. These are the same guys that dragged in the CEOs of all the other food companies, right? Like Loblaws, that when they're asking about food prices.
Right.
It could go anywhere. You don't know.
Right.
And so I did a little presentation on you know, what we see as a supply chain. And then the questions I got afterward were about nuclear power. Which was like, oh, okay, I didn't expect that. I thought we were here on Kuzma. But anyway, so what did we say? Sorry, I have to circle back what you actually asked here. Look, we're optimistic an agreement will be reached. Higher tariffs, though, could impact, certain ones of our members in the manufacturing of steel goods. But we're largely, you know, we're largely in kind of sovereign here. So we're not that impacted. Things would dramatically change, though, if the tariffs all of a sudden aligned on potash, uranium, oil and gas. That would be a different world. Now, where that would go, I don't know, but that's the world that we don't like. But, you know, we're nowhere near the problems Ontario has.
Some of those important sectors, we talk about potash, obviously, oil, right now have, you don't want to say come out unscathed, but when you talk with many, even the fact that they deal often in U.S. dollars gives them some buoyancy in this uncertain world.
Well, you always hear, you know, Saskatchewan has what the world needs, is that statement, right?
Right.
And we came out of the food, fuel, and fertilizer thing. You were there. Prabha put on a great event. I really dislike her for putting on such a great event. She does such great work.
There's a healthy competition.
It's like, come on, lady. Like, we're trying to do, like, our event has 3,100 people. I walk in. Yeah, I got you, Prabha. Her event, you know, 300 people, but wow, you know, like, so anyway, it's fun. So, but what I notice is I'm listening to the people from Ontario, the head of Steel Association, speak to the same committee. I'm going, this whole statement of we've got what the world needs is a gross understatement. We have what the world needs to survive. This is food, which is fertilizer. Half the world's food supply comes from fertilizer. And energy. You need energy every day. Otherwise, society comes to a halt. So it's things people need to survive. The only source out there for uranium, for example, and the potash is either us or Russia. Or maybe some in Kazakhstan. There's some minor pieces, but it's the major part. And you can't move the mine.
Right.
Like, you can't move these things. So the auto sector, these poor guys, do you need a new car today? Maybe, maybe not. You could always fix the old one, right? Like, you don't actually need a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to buy it from Canada, or could you buy it from the U.S., or could you buy it from Korea or Japan? Yeah, you could buy it from anywhere. Can you move the plant? Yeah. So, like, that's what they're facing. They're facing a whole other world. It'd be like for us, potash, uranium, oil and gas just picking up and leaving town.
Right.
That's what they're facing. So it's a whole other world. And so we've been largely, how do we say, sheltered?
Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
yeah.
I think, Eric, that's part of the messaging that I heard at that food, fuel, and fertilizer event. There's lots of optimism amongst, you talk with the big players, Mosaic, for example, were there. All of the big players in the resource industries in this province are fairly optimistic, but there is still this worry about federal regulations that could cause competitiveness problems on a global scale.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's, you know, you get into the realm there of the stuff that the Mining Association takes care of, Fertilizer Canada takes care of, and wonderful people like Tim Gitzel and Karina Gistelink and Ken Seitz. Like, these people, they handle that part. And then our world is like, if they get squeezed, we get crushed.
Yeah.
So we are always kind of, you kind of keep your eye on what's going on out there, because, we, you know, we build and support this stuff. But we live off of it.
Right. So I know one of your asks, or one of the points you wanted to hit on when you were speaking at this standing committee, was around the protection of supply chain. What could the federal government do? What do they need to do to protect supply chain in Canada?
Well, I think the first thing is keep it in-house. When possible, shop local. I mean, the shop local thing, I mean, I think there's a lovely lady down the hallway here that's shop at the store or the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's an important thing, because you need to be self-sufficient. The sovereignty of resources, sovereignty of everything, and that's what they're looking at now. How do we keep stuff in Canada where we're not exposed, or at least have multiple other options from people that we know and trust long term. I mean, those can even change. You saw how things have gone
right
a little sideways with the U.S. We never thought that would happen, but you know, so all of a sudden you start to realize, okay, we need to take care of ourselves, but we also have to be included in the conversation, which has been happening. I mean, by the fact that, like, this is the beginning of an emergency debate, and we're called in the first day, which was huge. That never happened before. So that's a huge relief that the federal government is now listening to us, wanting our opinion. They asked us to create a major project procurement white paper for them. How do you build big? Because, like, BHP, the largest mining company on earth, comes to Saskatchewan to build the largest project they've ever built in Saskatchewan. They don't have a supply chain. How do you do that? How do you create a supply chain for that scale of a project and do it successfully? So we've done it with them. We're doing it now in nuclear power. We're doing a lot of work there. And so the feds were, well, how do you put this together? And so we wrote a document, how do you do this? And we turned that in, and we've had ongoing conversations. And I met with the major projects office people on Monday of this week of how to be included, and so that there's a lot of know-how. Mm-hmm. But I really think the country of Canada is in a position now that it desperately needs its Western resource sector and Western abilities in construction to do well for the country to survive.
Right. Eric Anderson is our guest, Saskatchewan Industrial and Mining Suppliers Association Executive Director. I made this statement off the start, but we do hear this morning from the Prime Minister that he is coming out with a national electricity strategy. We're going to dig into this a little bit more coming up after 9 o'clock with Stephanie Taylor from the National Post. But energy generation, Eric, has been a topic of discussion in this province. It's a bit of a political debate, I would suggest.
No
question period.
Really?
With the, you know, what we're seeing with the refurbishment and expansion of coal and coal use in the province to try and get us to that transition to nuclear, which we know is still a ways away, but you've been heavily involved in even hosting a nuclear conference here in Saskatchewan. How do you see this whole discussion?
Well, on the nuclear front, we're working through that. We had the head of market development for the senior VP from CANDU in our office on Monday. And so we do this stuff in nuclear. I guess on the coal thing, first of all, wind and solar shut down completely for at least one full week every winter, sometimes two. They don't work here, so that's not, we need power that stays on forever.
Can I just stop you?
Yeah.
So wind and solar, one of my understandings is, and I've talked about this a couple of times, is around battery storage.
Yeah.
So it's, the generation is okay if you dump it in right away and use it as part of your base load, but it's not predictable. And so if there's a way we could store it affordably, that would help. But that technology is, if it exists, it's expensive.
And there's no way to store power for a longer term like you would need it. And storage implies a surplus.
Right.
Right. You need to have a surplus. Well, we don't have a surplus is the problem. So now we're down to coal and natural gas. Alina Young at the NDP, she's a wonderful human being. Talked to her a lot. She's a great person. I work with her. Jeremy Harrison, Minister Scott Moe, Rupen Pandya, they're all, like, we all work, you know, we as an associate, we balance between. And I think Brian Zinchak did a wonderful piece on costs, right? The cost, coal and gas. But what I think that was missed was that the price of gas could go up a lot, because we get our gas from Alberta, right? And you've seen right now the price of gasoline, right? Like, what's going on there? But the big thing that nobody's talked about is sourcing a turbine. Like, you can't build a power plant without a turbine, and these turbines have a 5 to 7 year waiting list right now if you ordered it today. I mean, the timelines of buying a new turbine versus a fixing one are huge issues, because you can't, there's no North American manufacturer of turbines. And that's the core. Like, you boil some water, create some steam under pressure, it spins the turbine, which turns a generator. It's the turbine.
Right.
No matter what power source, coal, natural gas, nuclear are the problems, and there's a problem there. We need to fix our turbines.
So the coal refurbishment is, in your opinion, not a bad move by the province?
It's a brilliant move. I mean, it keeps a pile of people employed, first of all, in Estevan. I mean, I don't know the exact dollars. That's not my math, but I think Brian got it correct on his estate. But I think it's the turbine refurbishment. And look, we got to keep the lights on as we build nuclear. And then the nuclear, just all that does is expand the grid, which is going to be happening. And then we need to replace the coal or the natural gas. And so it's a long-term play. This, you can't do this just quickly. You got to build to sustain, add, and then replace.
Right. All right. Well, I think we're going to have to call it there. Thanks so much for popping into studio here today, Eric. Appreciate you coming in, and we'll stay in touch. Lots always to talk about.
Well, thank you. Great chatting with you today, and enjoy your new studio here.
Well, we are. We've got great renovations happening in our main studio, so we're in a temporary location. But nonetheless, a great chat with Eric Anderson, Saskatchewan Industrial and Mining Suppliers Association Executive Director. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, thanks again to Eric Anderson for stopping by, the CIMSA Executive Director. He recently appeared before the Canadian House of Commons Standing Committee on Industry and Technology, talking about the importance of protecting supply chains. We know the importance, for example, manufacturing that happens here in Saskatchewan. There's a number of ways in which supply chains, which can be impacted by tariffs, let's use steel and aluminum tariffs as an example, greatly impacts the bottom line. So continued good work being done there. Okay, National Electricity Strategy. That is the words coming out of the mouth of the Prime Minister here recently. He just made this announcement. Today we are going to connect with our friend Stephanie Taylor, National Post political reporter, to get the notes on what has been announced and what the impact is going to be for Canadians and for us here in Saskatchewan. That's coming up next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.